T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, I did not talk about the Mets in the first hour for a few reasons. Number one, I think the Yankees are the biggest story. And number two, I figured if you stayed up until 2:30 in the morning, you're probably sleeping. So I figure now at about 11 a.m., there are a few people who may be turning their radios on saying, oh, I stayed up until late watching that Met game. I'm going to turn the radio on. So I will give you some thoughts about last night. Then we'll get back to your calls and we'll talk to the guy who brought Aaron Boone's rant into our universe, John Boy. He'll join me coming up at 12 noon. I was excited for that game last night. And I was excited because of what I laid out on the air yesterday, that while I will probably turn into Charlie Brown trying to kick the ball, you know, I'm like, Mets are hot. They've won 4 in a row. They're facing a team that's ahead of them. They're not that far back in the wild card race. Let's go. I mean, why the heck not? You never know. You got this incredibly sexy pitching matchup between Madison Bumgarner and Noah Syndergaard, a rematch of that wild card game. And every day that goes by, if the Mets can keep tacking on those victories, you start to believe in the impossible. And right out of the gate, I'm feeling good. First pitch of the game, Jeff McNeil rips a double. And then J.D. Davis gets a hit. And even though Alonso grounded into a double play, I was actually pleased that they got a run in the first inning. I was happy. I was like, all right, they got a run against Madison Bumgarner. Noah Syndergaard looked pretty good. He gets out of a jam where he gave up a leadoff triple in the second inning. It was very impressive because he won this battle with Brandon Crawford, who had a 10-pitch at-bat, struck him out. And Noah had a very shaky fourth inning in which he was very lucky to get through the inning, only allowing a run. Gave up a sacrifice fly that was hit very hard, and then Robbie Cano made a really good play to end the inning. So Noah escaped the fourth inning, and what impressed me about Noah is after that, he settled in again. Instead of that fourth inning being the gateway to a very mediocre performance, Noah had a 1-2-3 fifth, he had a 1-2-3 sixth, and he did in the seventh what he had done earlier in the game. He gives up a leadoff triple and then gets out of it. It was great. It was fantastic. I even liked Mickey Callaway saying, hey, after he got the ground out of Pilar, I'm going to walk Joe Panik. I'm going to go after Bumgarner, who for whatever reason offensively has not had the same kind of year. Syndergaard struck him out. He got Brandon Belt out. And Noah Syndergaard, and you have to be encouraged by him, gave you another really good starting pitching performance. The problem was, and little did I know, after Alonso grounded into that double play to get the Mets a run, that Madison Bumgarner would go back to being the Madison Bumgarner Yankee fans are dreaming about. He dominated. And not only did he dominate, and I know you can say, but Evan, he didn't really dominate. He didn't strike out a lot of guys. There were some good contact against him. Okay, fine. There was a couple of line drives against him. No doubt. He wasn't dominating in terms of no one has a chance against him. He was dominating the way Greg Maddux would dominate. The Mets weren't getting opportunities against him. And he wasn't throwing a lot of pitches. And that's concerning. And that reminded me of the wild card game. Because in that wild card game, Madison Bumgarner threw like 3 innings, threw 25 pitches. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous efficiency. And it drove me nuts. That's exactly what happened last night. Anytime he would get into trouble, like he gives up a leadoff hit to McNeil in the sixth inning, boom, double play. And I thought after Bumgarner got through the ninth inning and did not hit in the ninth, that Bruce Bochy could have and should have let him start the 10th, which never happens in baseball in 2019. But I get it. Bochy's thinking to himself, I may trade the guy. I've got a really good bullpen. I don't think necessarily the game is going 16 innings, so fine, I'll go to my bullpen. And the Giants do have a good bullpen. Now let's get to that 10th inning because we had a caller refer to it. If you missed it, I'll paint it for you, and then you can realize with your own brain how horrific Mickey Callaway can truly be. And I complimented him the other day. He managed a very well game. I like how he managed the bullpen last night. I'll give him that. But the 10th inning, they should put it in a textbook for how not to manage. That's how bad it was. So Robbie Cano leads off with a hit. Great. Look at Robbie getting a base hit. Ahmed Rosario gets what they call a double, really a single. Left fielder, I think it was Alex Dickerson, made the throw to third. Dumb play. Rosario takes second. So here we go. Top of the 10th, second and third, nobody out, and here are the guys due up. Tomas Nito, Juan Lagares, and the pitcher spot, all right? That's what you have. And at that point in the game, you have just about a full bench. The only guy who's been used so far is Adeni Echeverria. So you've got Luis Guillorme, Michael Conforto, Dom Smith, Wilson Ramos. Let's start with Nitto. I know Nitto has been competent offensively. He has. He has been much better than we have expected from him. I don't want him up in that spot. And a part of why I don't want him up is that I'm going to use Wilson Ramos, right? For either Lagares or for the pitcher spot, Ramos is coming into the game. There's a lefty on the mound. I'm 100% going to use him. If I use him in the 10th inning of the game, don't I want to keep him in the game? I do. Of course I do. I do because, A, if the game continues, I have his bat in the lineup as opposed to Tomas Nito, and B, no, that's A and B. That's A, B, and C. I want Ramos's bat in the game. Noah Syndergaard's gone, so Noah can't cry about who's catching him, so I want Ramos in the game. So that's issue number one. Why is Nitto hitting? Tell me why. Now, if your counter to me is, but wait a second, second and third, nobody out. If you send up Ramos, they'll just walk him like they did one batter later. Fine, walk him. Now I've got bases loaded, nobody out. Or I could send up Conforto right there. Look, I know I've got lefties and only one big righty. So I'm going to have to use a lefty against a lefty. I can pick when I use the guy, right? So why not use Conforto first? Why not say, all right, second and third, nobody out. Here's Conforto. Want to walk him? Good luck. Go try to walk him. Load him up. Then I'll send Ramos up. And if you want to sit back and try to turn two, we'll gladly take a run for two outs. Nitto can't hit. That's number one. Number two, he lets Nitto hit. He strikes out. Now, again, same option. You know you're using Ramos eventually. Do you use Ramos first or second? Well, here's why I say first. Or second, I should say. If you use him first, they're going to walk him, which is what they did. And now it's Conforto, bases loaded, one out, and you've completely wasted Wilson Ramos. If you use Conforto first, again, same issue. You're daring the Giants to either face Conforto with second and third and one out or walk him. I'm hoping they walk him. Even though Ramos can ground into double plays rather routinely because he's slow as molasses, at least I'm giving his bat an opportunity. I don't know if Mickey Callaway thinks of any of this because instead, Nitto's hitting, mistake number one, he strikes out. Ramos is the first pinch hitter he uses. They intentionally walk him. And now you're looking at bases loaded, one out, Conforto, and then McNeil. And then, because things don't make sense in this world, when the count is 0-2 on Conforto, wait a second, timeout. What's happening? He sends out Luis Guillorme at that moment to pinch run for Ramos. So now you can't even keep Ramos in the game to get Nitto out of the game. So now you used Wilson Ramos to not even hit. You used him to stand there, not even take pitches because there's an automatic walk, and then come out of the game for a pinch runner. You have taken Wilson Ramos and you've discarded him in the trash. As a manager, you need to be better than that. You can't waste your best right-handed bat like that. And if you use him differently, you don't have to necessarily waste him. So, yes, that was a horribly managed 10th inning. With all of that said, guys didn't execute. No doubt, Michael Conforto struck out when good contact gives the Mets the lead. Jeff McNeil, very tough to ever rip Jeff McNeil. He's 2-for-3 at that time, but he didn't come through. Tomas Nitto didn't come through, even though I wouldn't have wanted him up in that spot. When you have second and third, nobody out in a tie game in the top of the 10th inning, you better score. And I'll echo something Joe would say if he was here. If he was here for the 10th inning, if he was still up in the 10th inning, what he would have said to you is, at that point, bro, I knew we were dead, and I shut the TV off. And you know what? It would have saved him a lot of time. A ton of time. Because the game kept going, 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 and there's a lot of good out of it because the Met bullpen miraculously over the last few games has been excellent. Yeah, I'd say that word, excellent. Seth Lugo was excellent. Luis Avalon pitched a scoreless inning. I loved going to Diaz in the 10th against the top of the order. See, I just complimented Mickey Callaway. I loved it. I loved it at the time. I always love it. I always say on the air, hey, tie game on the road, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm using, as up and down as Diaz has been, I'm using one of my quote-unquote best relievers. And he did issue a leadoff walk, but was able to get through the inning. And no way were they keeping him out for the 11th inning. But then Jairus Familia does the job, gives up a leadoff hit, turns a double play, in which I could have sworn he was going to throw the ball in the center field. Robert Gazelman pitched two scoreless innings. What? What? Justin Wilson got through a very shaky 14th inning, but got through it. And then we got Chris Mazza. And here's the problem. And I was saying this on Twitter, and I was saying this to myself, because I talk to myself sometimes. I said, self, eventually this bullpen is going to give up a freaking run. You have to score. So by the 13th and 14th inning, I expect that the bullpen's going to give up a run, and I can't be annoyed about it. So Mazza pitches a clean 15th. He actually gave up a hit and then got a double play. And so now it's the 16th inning, and Alonso hits the home run. And of course I didn't think the Mets were going to win the game at that point. Why? Because now Chris Mazza is being asked to pitch a second inning against some decent hitters, in which I feel lucky as hell that he got through one scoreless inning. So, no, I wasn't confident. And boy, oh boy, was that 16th inning. Like, you want to just put yourself out of the misery. First pitch double by Alex Dickerson. And then Crawford has another ridiculously good at-bat, except this time it ends with an RBI double. At that point, it's a tie game. And even if somehow Mazza gets out of it, think about it. Who's the next pitcher to come in? Mink was saying earlier, Mickey was alluding that it would be J.D. Davis. So once they tie the game, pick your poison, they're going to lose. And I'll say this, when it's 2 a.m. and you know you're not getting a lot of sleep, at that point, you don't even care how long the game is. Now you're just like, let's keep it going. Why not? 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., what the hell's the difference? And Mazza doesn't get anybody out. Now, what I think is very unfair to Mazza is to say that the Met bullpen imploded last night. That is ridiculous. The Met bullpen did not implode last night. The Mets didn't implode. They had a bad inning. And that inning they were due for. So I would be foolish to get upset with the Met bullpen. The Met bullpen pitched 8 scoreless innings before the 16th inning. Let me say that again. The Met bullpen pitched 8 freaking scoreless innings before the 16th. Was it a horrible tease that they took the lead and then in the bottom of the 16th they gave it up? Of course it was a horrible tease. But the Mets should have scored runs earlier. It shouldn't have been that situation where Mazza has to come out for a second inning. Shouldn't have been that situation. But yeah, what else is new? Another brutal, brutal loss. This reminds me of 2009. In 2009, all the Mets did was lose brutally. The Luis Castillo drop game, the Ryan Church missing third game, that was in L.A. This season has just been littered with these horrific, horrible losses. Yankee fans, you were upset about Monday? Here's why it doesn't matter. A, you haven't had a lot of those, and B, you responded by winning 3 straight. And by the way, if the Mets are going to get us excited again, that's exactly what they need to do. They need to go out and win 3 more in a row. Are they going to do that? Probably not. And how about this aspect? Jacob Rehm is called up to serve his suspension. So the Mets played that game last night minus a reliever. And who knows what would have been different. I mean, one thing that would have been different is Rehm is in the game as opposed to Mazza. That would have been different. Now, who knows? Rehm could have come in and given up a home run right out of the gate. I have no idea. But the Mets played that game minus a bullpen arm. So my issue with Mickey was how horrific the 10th inning was. The rest of the game I had no problem with. Honestly, he was fine. I liked the way he managed the bullpen. I liked the way he used Edwin Diaz. Could he have pushed Noah Syndergaard to pitch an 8th inning? I don't know. He's at 108. I think he was probably done. Remember, he had a shaky 7th inning. He was lucky to get through that inning. So I thought Mickey overall was good. The problem is, that 10th inning was a textbook on how not to manage. Everything he did was wrong. And, of course, the Mets weren't able to bail him out by getting a big hit. 2:30 in the morning. That's when it ended.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.